Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You know, unfortunately, it's not going to be all on the field or in the front office or on the sidelines related. From the Baltimore Banner joins us every Friday. He's our buddy and yours, Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, good morning. What's happening?
Morning. Thanks for having me back.
Well, you know, a story broke yesterday. Baltimore Banner, your publication there, Julie Sharper, Brenna Smith, and Justin Fenton. And, you know, it was right near the end of the show. And full disclosure, I'd been told that the story was going to break on Tuesday or Wednesday, and it actually did. So tell our listeners, Jonas, exactly when the Baltimore Banner got involved in the investigative reporting side of things with these allegations against Justin Tucker.
Yeah, not until a couple of weeks ago. Surprisingly, I know most investigations of this scope can take months to develop, but ours came together pretty quickly, which I think gives you an indication of what was out there. And of course, all the resurfaced tweets have kind of given this whole alleged episode a surprising twist, I guess you can call it. I really didn't have a whole lot to do with the reporting, just besides reaching out to the Ravens, reaching out to the NFL. It was just, you know, the folks on our investigative side reaching out to people around the area, people who they knew, people who, friends of friends that might have an experience with Justin Tucker. And it came together pretty quickly. I mean, you know, we had the story basically ready to go, late last week, early this week, just needed some final tweaks. So it's a good thing for, I don't want to say a good thing, but like the time, this was helpful in some ways because we wouldn't have the blowback of you're trying to destroy this Super Bowl push from the Ravens, and now it's landed in a little bit more of a accommodating window, I guess you could call it. But, you know, the reporting kind of speaks for itself, and, we're obviously endeavoring now to work other angles, trying to find new leads, just see what else is out there.
Now, for listeners who haven't read the story, How aware were the Ravens of the ongoing or the investigation as it was starting to come together? And they're complicit, but were they aware that these sort of allegations have been kind of floating in the wind out there for a while?
My editor Chris Gorman, who might be listening now, reached out to the Ravens early this week, and they said that they had not heard of this. They said that this was news to them. They said it was completely out of character for the Justin Tucker that they know and that they have known for the past decade now. The challenges for us is figuring out whether that is indeed the case. I mean, as you guys probably remember from the from the Zay Flowers situation last year, the Ravens, part of their infrastructure, as with any other NFL team's infrastructure, is to have sources of law enforcement to kind of give them a heads up. So when we broke the Zay Flowers news last year, they knew that was kind of coming down the pike. I don't know if they knew that it would unfold the way that it did, but it is part of the NFL's personal conduct policy for teams to give a heads up to the league if they are informed of anything that could be in violation of the personal conduct policy. So if eventually You know, there is cold, concrete proof that the Ravens knew about these allegations and did nothing to report them or to handle them, then they could be in trouble themselves.
Now, Jonas, I said on the air yesterday as things started to break in the final hour of our show, out of uniform, next to Lamar Jackson, Justin Tucker is probably the most recognizable Raven on that team. Does this, and we can't look into the crystal ball future by any stretch of the imagination, or I'd be a bazillionaire winning a lottery every week, but how does this affect his tenure with the team, if at all?
Yeah, it's a good question. That is, I don't think that anything will happen immediately, that, you know, the wheels of justice in the NFL can take a long, long time to chug along. You look at what happened with Deshaun Watson. That was more than a year after the allegations first came out, until when he was actually suspended that initial 6-game ban. Von Miller, you know, allegations, I think, of misconduct with his girlfriend or an ex-girlfriend, and that was, I think, 9 to 11 months or so for that turnaround time. So really, I think the onus now has been placed on the Ravens and seeing how this comports with their own, you know, so-called zero-tolerance policy, which isn't really much of a zero-tolerance policy because, you know, they signed Dalvin Cook last year while he was still going through some, you know, he was still kind of making his way through the legal process with the allegations of assault and false imprisonment and battery with an ex-girlfriend from 2020. So it's a tough situation. I think John Harbaugh maybe backed the team into the corner a little bit when he said that the Ravens' zero-tolerance policy applied in cases similar to Deshaun Watson's back in 2022. I don't know how much the Ravens will adhere to that, but it's going to be an interesting litmus test, I think, for where this team stands and just how much credence they put into these allegations, as well as, you know, what they uncover with their own inquiry.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, joining us here on The Fan, Bob Haney. Nolan McGraw here on this Featured Artist Friday. All right, let's get to Chuck Pagano comes in, and as he said on the Pat McAfee show, it happened, like, rather quickly that he was asking for a friend. Now he's an employed guy at Owings Mills, but Chris Hewitt is out. What sort of intel can you tell us about that? Was Chris Hewitt a guy that was probably on the outs anyway? Was Pagano kind of a happy coincidence? Because this really seemed to unfold quickly both ways.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was interesting that the news with Chris Hewitt broke on the same day that I think his son committed to Rutgers. You know, he's a 2026 four-star recruit locally, so maybe if Chris Hewitt is looking to be where his son is in college, then obviously moving away from the Baltimore area, perhaps more to the you know, Northeast corridor, that could be something that works for him. I mean, obviously, you know, you hear rumors, you hear whispers about just how much things were in disarray early in the season for the secondary. Don't want to put too much credence into them because I, you know, did not double verify it or anything like that. But it was not all hunky dory, as you can imagine, as that pass defense was one of the worst in the NFL over the first 10 weeks or so. So, you know, they obviously had enough faith in Chris Hewitt to give him an assistant head coach title last offseason. But John Harbaugh goes way back with Chuck Pagano. And, I think obviously you know, it's probably easy to say in retrospect now, but Denard Wilson, I think, is coming off smelling more like roses than Chris Hewitt for that 2023 masterclass that the secondary was able to put on and showcase. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of novel ideas or what kind of fresh attitude Chuck Pagano brings to that secondary room. I think the attitude part is probably the biggest part of this. I don't think he and Chris Hewitt are on that same kind of spectrum in terms of, you know, how they, you know, the kind of temperament that they have. That's a bad thing. I think bringing in a guy like Chuck Pagano, who's been around the league, who's seen everything that NFL offenses have to offer, I think that's something where if you're a defensive coordinator or a defensive, you know, assistant of Pagano's rank, like it will be in Baltimore, being around the block as many times as he has, it can only be a good thing.
Jonas, last thing for you, and we'll break down the Super Bowl next Friday when you join the program. But looking at ESPN.com's top 50 unrestricted free agent list, NFL, of course, Ronnie Stanley comes in at a big old number 3 there. Comeback year, if you want to call it that, took the salary trim last year. All that being said, is Ronnie Stanley played his last game as a Baltimore Raven here?
I'm leaning toward yes, but it's very tough for me to gauge exactly, you know, what his market could be because, you know, he's on the wrong side of 30. He's had these injury histories. I don't think there's a bigger benefit to playing left tackle or right tackle than having a quarterback like Lamar Jackson be back there because you're not going to be able to speed rush every time because, you know, the Lamars of the world, the Josh Allens of the world will just bolt out of there and make you look silly. So I'm sure that there will be a handful of teams with a lot of money on their hands, like a, you know, maybe a Commanders, maybe a Patriots to offer Ronnie Stanley a lot of money. I just don't know how much money that will be, you know, over how many years, how much guaranteed because of all the kind of mitigating factors I just mentioned. So it's possible that the Ravens will, you know, be working night and day to lock him up. But, you know, you look at these mock drafts, Bob, and it seems like there's a lot of really good potential day one tackles who could be there for the taking where the Ravens are drafting late in the first round. So I'm inclined to say just because of where the Ravens salary cap situation is and because they don't generally like to restructure with these deals to make money for guys who might not be on the come up in their career, that's probably likely that Ronnie Stanley's played his last downs in Baltimore. But, you know, I know he really loves it here. I know he really loves playing for Lamar. I know he, you know, wants to win a Super Bowl. I just don't know, you know, if that's going to override what the agent is trying to get, you know, out there on the free market.
He is Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner. Jonas, always appreciate the time. Enjoy your weekend. Have a great one. And next Friday, we'll talk about Kansas City and Philadelphia and all the drama surrounding Super Bowl 59.
Thanks, Bob.
Appreciate you got it, bud. There is Jonas Schaefer, always bringing the heat here and in a good way. I mean, very informed and articulate. I mean, that's a pro. And his film study, Nolan's pretty strong, too, if you go to the Baltimore Banner. Check it out. When we come back, it's the Whip Around and then Keith Kavanaugh. Hey, we're having fun in Turtle Land, right? Terps have really starting to pick up the pace there, literally and figuratively, on the basketball floor. So we'll talk to Keith about that. We got a fun house with Nolan McGraw, news from the Nets, buy or sell. Jacob Calvin-Meyer, 12:30, talk about the Orioles 2 weeks away from pitchers and catchers. But we will get your phone calls, I promise. So if you're on the line, hang tight. Gee, what are we talking about today?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey.
Vinny and Hades with
brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Time for the whip around, Vinny and Hades, 105.7 The Fan. Here on this Featured Artist Friday, it is Billy Squire, everybody. Maryland men, they are off until next Thursday when they go to Ohio State, taking on the Buckeyes, who last night beat Penn State 83-64. Elsewhere in the Big Ten, UCLA destroyed Oregon 78-52. The Bruins, they won four straight games. They won five overall, four straight against ranked teams. Nebraska, the mayor, getting himself a much-needed win. Fred Hoiberg, that is. 80-74 over number 18, Illinois. In overtime, locally in college hoops, men, Towson. Old Scary's Tigers are rolling. First place in the Colonial, 76-66 over Delaware. Bryant, first place, beat UMBC 92-86. Let's see. In the NBA, oh, God. Lakers beat the Wizards 134-96. LeBron James, 24-3-11. Ronnie got off the pine. Bob Carrington had 2-1-6 for Washington, Baltimore zone. Wizards have now lost 16 straight games. Now, I didn't even know this, to be honest with you. That's the second time this year they've lost. They've had 16-game losing streak. They were historically bad. By the way, the 16 games matches a franchise record. And if you're of a certain age, mine, they used to be one of the most stable, successful franchises in the NBA. They went to the NBA Finals four times in the 70s. And they haven't won 50 games since 1979. They haven't been in the Eastern Conference Finals since 1979. They stink. They've had their little uprisings with their arenas, Antoine Jameson teams, and then, of course, John Wall, Bradley Beal, and all that. Otto Porter, where they were good, could beat anybody on a given night. And what makes it so bad, like say from a daily fantasy perspective, they get smashed so early and often you can't take anybody because nobody, the other team's benching starters by the third quarter. But anyway, elsewhere, local interest NBA, Memphis edges Houston, two of the best teams in the West, 120-119. Desmond Bane, big game because no Ja Morant yesterday. 24-12-6 for Desmond. Santi Aldama, Loyola Greyhound, 15-5-1. Cam Whitmore for the Rockets, Baltimore zone, 5-2-1. There, pitchers and catchers for the Orioles coming up on February the 12th. We'll talk more about that with Jacob Calvin-Meyer in about an hour or so. Orioles right now, 89.5 is the win total. Nolan, real quick. Last year they won 91. I'm asking you, putting you on the spot. Yes or no, they'll win more or less than 91.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, damn.
At least 92.
Okay. Well, that's more.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. So we'll get into all of that. A lot of players that we met. I brought it up yesterday on short-term deals. So this team that's 25, and if they win the World Series, it won't be the same team at 26. And let's hope they just get the playoffs and maybe throw us a bone. Want a playoff game. Pitchers and catchers. Boxing tomorrow. Big fight. Light heavyweight championship. A lot of boxing fans here in our audience. David Benavidez, 29-0, 24 KOs. David Morrell, Cuban defector. He's 11-0, 9 knockouts. Won his first belt in his third fight. That's in Las Vegas. Great undercard, too. So Amazon Prime will be your distributor there. In the NHL last night, one of the big surprises, pleasant surprises, been the Washington Capitals, but last night against Ottawa, you can't win them all.
Norris dives back, and Chikrin knocks him down. Pinto back with it. Chabot drifting in. They find him in front. Chabot on a roll. In shoots, scores. Thomas Chabot on his birthday wins it for Ottawa.
A birthday puck. TSN on the call. Overtime 5-4 Ottawa over Washington. Alexander Ovechkin a goal to assist. Capitals now 34-11-6. But tomorrow night, host Winnipeg, the top two teams in the NHL, 1-2 points-wise. Winnipeg 36-19-3. That puck drop in D.C. this day in sports history. It is January the 30th. Wow. Today's last day of January? What? Really? Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't control the calendar. 1988, Super Bowl 22. San Diego Redskins, as they were called, destroyed Denver Broncos 42-10. You know, Nolan, you weren't even alive then. My buddy fell through a table because we were partying. Then we went to this place and shot pool, watched second half on the TV up in Highlandtown. But, you know, living a sports dream life. Denver actually led that game 10-0. And then how about 42 unanswered? Doug Williams, brilliant. He wins MVP as the Washington Redskins. That was the third Joe Gibbs? Wait a minute. 82, 87. He won three. Yeah, with three different quarterbacks. There you go. So that was the second one. So Joe Gibbs taking care of business there, as did the Redskins. That game was on ABC. Al Michaels, Frank Gifford, Dan Dierdorf on the call. National Anthem, San Diego, Herb Albert, Tijuana Brass. You're a big Herb Albert fan, I'm sure. Let's see here. Halftime, a little chubby checker coming your way. And the Rockettes. 80.14 mil. Watch that game. 30-second spot. $645,000. 1993. January 31st. Super Bowl 27. In Pasadena. Maybe a more devastating blowout. Dallas beat Buffalo 52-17. Troy Aikman, most valuable player, as he went off. Dick Enberg. Bob Trumpy. OJ. Todd Christensen on the call. National Anthem. Break out the poop kickers in the cowboy hat. Little Garth Brooks coming your way. But this is when things started to get real, Nolan. Halftime, Michael Jackson. 91 million people watched that.
That's not like the first notable one, is it?
He was the first like superstar
Okay. Kind
of guy. And then after that, it was like, oh, we got to...
Now it's an event.
We got to raise the game till we get to the next Super Bowl here. Anyway, 850K. Why are we saying this? Because it's eight million for a 30-second spot this year. That was still less than 900,000. And then 1999, sorry, in Miami, Super Bowl 33, Denver beats Atlanta 34-19 in its last ever NFL game. John Elway wins MVP as the Broncos win back-to-back Super Bowls. Fox on the call, Pat Summerall, John Madden, Ron Pitts, Bill Moss on the call. National Anthem, Cher, If She Could Turn Back Time. But halftime, whoop, whoop. Well, Gloria Estefan, I guess she was a big deal at that time. Stevie Wonder's been a big deal for as long as I've been alive. And Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. That was the halftime entertainment, Super Bowl 33.
Sounds like a bad wrestling gimmick.
Yeah.
What was that, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy?
Yeah, him and the Iron Sheik taking on the Moondogs and Lou Albano. So there you go. We'll come back, talk some Terps. Keith Cavanaugh, TerpenTypes.com. Get your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Go to the Funhouse as well. Really starting to percolate. A couple of big-time college football recruits down there at the Xfinity Center. Here to talk about that more on the Window Nation guest hotline. Keith Cavanaugh. Keith, what is happening?
Bob, yo. Word for the day.
Yes.
Resiliency and finding ways to win. Okay, it was five words. But peaking at the right time, too, is Maryland men's basketball. What a difference 2 weeks make. I mean, think about what has defined this program for the majority of the last decade. finding ways to lose, Bob Haney, faltering in the end, not holding leads, not finishing, not executing end of game or end of half situations, even inbounds pass against Wisconsin a few years ago that killed us all. Oh, but anyhow, these guys are on a roll now. When you think about the first half the other night, when Rice, Gillespie, and Queen were 4 for 20 and Juju was on the bench most of the first half with two fouls, yet they led the number 17 team in the country by 1 point at the half and held them under, 15 points, their season scoring average. So all of a sudden, we wake up today. Maryland's a 6 seed in the latest bracketology, 18 in the NET. All of a sudden, 7-4 in the conference in fourth place. These guys, no matter the adversity, are finding ways to gut it out and finish. And we haven't seen that really at all sustained in a decade. So there you go, Bob. Okay, I'm out of here. Lunchtime, bye.
But good news for sure, no doubt about it. And Derek Queen and did not, put up the offensive stats that, we had seen him put up, as he's been one of the best freshmen in the country and projected to be one of the top draft prospects, at least top 20 in the upcoming NBA draft. But we were talking to Walt Williams, Keith, yesterday, as a matter of fact, that even though he's not putting up points, and man, that left-handed hook, come on, let's get a little work in him the 7 days off, but he still impacts games in the paint defensively because nobody was touching him on the boards for Wisconsin last night.
The other good news, all five starters are in double figures. Yes, he had 12 points. What do you have, 12-plus rebounds? Yeah. He's hitting his free throws. Sometimes, does he think he's an NBA point guard? Yes. Sometimes, does he not play within the team concept? Yes. Sometimes, does he try to showboat or whatever? But even if he misses, there's some remarkable moves. His hands, his feet, his savvy, his guile. He's crafty. What was that old rap song by Run DMC?
She's crafty.
Yeah, he is one crafty dude. And, he made all
Beastie Boys. Excuse me, Nolan says Beastie Boys. What are you doing?
I'm mixing up your two favorite bands. But
I do like better than that, for the record.
Now, by and by with each week, his stock is getting better. The other night was not great as far as scoring. He still shoots the errant three ball once in a while too much. But, again, as many people say, it almost appears he's in slow motion. Is he so smooth and he gets to the hoop? Now he just has to finish. Yes. Collectively, the team missed some bunnies the other night. DHS bricked that layup, which I think almost broke the rim from half a foot away. But this team is, they withstand every rally. They have great spurt ability. They can be a streaky shooting team. They can lack at the offensive rebounding end. They can get lost on transition D and 3D often. But the other night, the screens and switches and communication was much better defensively, particularly in the second half, getting out on the three balls shooters. But what Wisconsin came in averaging 82.5 points a game, was held to 68. And really, Bob, if you look at it, the next 9 games, five are at home and one is against a ranked, only one ranked opponent, Michigan State. Or is Michigan? Michigan ranked up?
They're on the periphery for sure.
Yeah,
they have been.
Yeah. Beyond Sparty, the way these last 9 look are very advantageous. So the team is peaking at the right time. And also, it's safe to say in the last 3 weeks or so, Miguel and Rodney Rice were kind of in a mini slump, particularly Miguel. They've seemingly broken out of that. And even Kapari, as funky as his game can be at times, he just reeks of potential. Sometimes he doesn't always put together. Him and DHS off the bench the other night were great energy, great defense. The rare three ball from DHS. Kapari taking the charges, hitting the three ball. He's a fun character to watch out there. So you got to really like their mental fortitude, their ability to finish now and not always have head-scratching bonehead plays at the end where they blow 19 games last year by 2 or 3 points or less victory margin. So last year they were a one-man team with Jameer. This year they have many weapons, and you can have 3 or 4 guys off one night, yet they still beat number 17. So you got 2 of your last 3 wins were on the road, so they cracked the ceiling there of going 0-for. and they're climbing up and up, strength of schedule and taking care of business here and finally getting some elusive roadies. So they have a week off, basically. Well, they play Thursday with Ohio State, who they beat by, 25?
Yeah, but they're playing better.
Yeah, they've gotten better offensively. They ratted Penn State last night. Those guys, Mobley and Royal and Johnson and Thornton, they have some potential scorers. So you got to really like how this team is going right now and all the, disparate parts coming together, because in the day and age of Portal, you got to put all these teams together in no time. It's all a year-to-year thing. And last but not least, even though I know we have another 40 minutes on this segment, is Juju Reese the most improved player in the last month or 5 weeks that we've ever seen in Maryland?
He's a stud.
I mean, yeah, he was National Player of the Week last week. Derek was Big Ten Rookie of the Week. But the free throws, his ability to finish, his ability not to make bonehead basketball IQ lack thereof plays, a lot of things that have defined him in the past, he's Mr. Consistent. He's been the steadiest force for them for the last month plus, and has totally transformed his game. I think his demeanor, he's not getting in the foul trouble, as I mentioned, the free throws. So a lot of good things coming together. And it's tough in this day and age when every year you have a different lineup and you got to mesh them all together.
Keith Kavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. All right, Keith, as you said, as you took up 38 of the 40 minutes, there are a couple big football recruit visitors at the Xfinity Center. So give our listeners an idea of who was there, chances Maryland. Well, one's already verbally committed to Maryland, even though he's got the suitcase with all the bumper stickers on it. what do we got going on here with the two big recruits, chances of gaining both highly regarded, one of the top recruits in the country?
Well, Bob Zion, out of St. Francis, originally from up here in Joppa Town. Ely, he's been committed for the last month or so. But last week he visited Auburn. Then he went from Auburn to Penn State. Then he's tweeting all this Penn State stuff. So I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, he was wearing a jacket.
And then Emmanuel from Georgetown Prep, the five-star O-lineman, that's going to be a reach, too. But it's always great to have kids there. I know Vinny's listening on his transistor radio.
Well, he wants to know the vibe is what he's
somewhere. Doing. But yeah. He'll ask me about portals. Bad news this week for the Terps. On the portal front, I guess we had heard much talk about after the playoffs, a bunch of guys are going to become available in the portal that Maryland may get. Well, the only guy after the playoffs who visited, Penn State backup, defensive back Tyrese Mills, committed to UConn this week over Maryland and others. Not good. Also, Belichick is trying to scrape Maryland inside linebacker coach Lance Thompson. He could be on the roll out, and no new hires for football. I know Vinny has these football questions every week. He's such a Terp football junkie, like you're a hoops junkie.
Yeah,
so anyhow, the only guy who visited and has made a decision is that. So now what we're going to have to do with the portal is wait till pre-spring ball, mid-spring ball, and after spring ball when guys see depth charts and check out. They still badly need a few more impact O-linemen, by another tight end, another corner, another interior D lineman or so. But Ely, we're not holding quite our breath right now as he's taking a parade of visits. The problem is three of his St. Francis 2026 teammates have already committed to Auburn. Wow. And Auburn recently hired a St. Francis assistant coach who's down there. So a lot of things have to come into place for that verbal commitment, which in this day and age really doesn't hold much water.
No, it does not. Keith Kavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. Keith, always appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
You too, my brother. Take care, Bob.
You got it. Keith Kavanaugh, everybody. We'll come back. Take your phone calls, 410-583-1057. We've been talking about Justin Tucker, of course. Big story of the first hour plus of the show. Super Bowl 59 is next Sunday in New Orleans as the Chiefs looking to become the first team ever to win three straight Super Bowl. Jacob Cavamire is going to be joining us at 12:30 from the Sun. Orioles won 91 games last year. Over, under. Nolan says over. What do you think? A lot of dough involved there. All right, let's get out to the phone. 410-583-1057 is the number. News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Let's go to Rashawn. Rashawn, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, Bob?
How you doing, dude?
Hey, ain't nothing much, man. This story crazy about Tucker, man. Like, with this massage parlor stuff. Like, I only been to a massage parlor one time. That was out in Scottsdale last year. Me and my boy Dustin went.
Sure.
We got there for the Ravens game, and he wound up getting kicked out of the massage
parlor. Doesn't he get thrown out of pretty much everywhere he goes, though?
Yeah, 90% of the places he gets thrown out.
But he's usually cool at Pickles, if memory serves. He doesn't get all dopey. I mean, you can see the aggression start to build up a little bit, but I'm usually tapping out by then. You know what I mean?
yeah. But listen, like they said, Denzel said in Training Day, man, it's not what they know, it's what they can prove. You know, so I mean, all this stuff is allegations right now. Do they got videos or text messages or anything like that? You know, and now I understand a bunch of people are saying the same thing, you know, but just because five people are saying the same thing don't make it true. You know, we got, that's like 10 people saying the Cowboys suck. You know, that'll
there's more than that. You know, but the record, well, they've got video that shows them sucking, but when they're women that don't have relationships, right, Nolan, they don't know each other. It's not like they're getting together as a gang. It's not, right? Isn't it all kind of a...
That's what's in the banner article.
Different situation. Mm. Or, you know, like everybody else, Rashawn, we're just reading, you know, what's out there.
Right.
But there had been whispers about this, quite frankly, for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I was told a couple of days ago that the story was going to break. And it did, of course. So, and as Jonas Schaefer said, they've been doing their intel, but it sounds like it came together real fast from the banner's perspective here.
Yeah, it just makes me think, like, Tucker, he can get any type of girl he wants, man. You know,
well, he's married, apparently. But yeah, and let's look at this, too. All right, hey, look, adultery's been going on. It's in the Bible. That's how long that stuff's been happening. But, and it's not against the law. Immoral, whatever, you come off like a scumbag. I mean, that's all for you to judge individually. But it's in a lot of cases, it's a guilty till proven innocent scenario. And even with the allegation, you're not going to see any Justin Tucker Royal Farms commercials anytime soon, I would assume, if ever again. And he has been the face of that since he took over for a Haloti Ngata a few years ago. That's a huge, huge loss for him if, in fact, that's what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it would be a loss financially, but I'm quite sure he's a smart guy. He made more than enough money to be financially, you know, straight.
But to have your rep damaged to that point, say he is innocent of all these charges, people are still going to, in the back of their head, just assume that he got away with something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. And I hope the NFL, you know, or the Ravens don't do like how they did with Zeke Elliott a couple years ago when they just rushed the judgment and suspended the guy and everything before the facts and really evidence came out. So, I mean, you really can't do that, man. You know, but I mean, at the end of the day, he didn't.
When he pulled that girl's shirt up, that was on video.
Something happened.
Yeah.
Then he got another
fight. Oh, yeah. Burn that Dallas stuff. Just get all full purple. Don't worry about them Cowboys. They're yesterday's
news,
man.
It's coming, Bob. Don't worry.
All right, Rashawn. Hey, thanks. Have a good weekend, Bob. Dude. There's a boy. Dustin gets thrown out of everything.
I started cracking up as soon as he said that. So on brand.
All right, what's in your mind there, Nolan McGraw, as we had news from the Nats here?
I mean, we're doing all right over here. I mean, I'm just kind of, I don't know, give me the baseball. That's where I'm at right now.
Well, we got
now.
That coming at 12:30, and you said the Orioles absolutely over the 91.
Yes.
The over-under total is set by ESPN Sportsbook, ESPN Bet Sportsbook, is 89.5. Last year, they went 91. They were on pace, if you remember, through what, mid-May into June, to win like 109 games. They were chasing the 69 Orioles. They wound up winning 91 and had to win the last three of the season to get there. 2 years ago, they won 103 games. So they get 89. They're kind of going in reverse when you're thinking they should be leveling up to be serious World Series contenders here.
Yeah, and I can understand it from the perspective of looking at their offseason, right? You know, Burns leaves. That's a huge loss. Santander leaves. That's a loss as well. And who you replaced them with, that's all part of the equation. But they were so abysmally bad in the second half last year that I just think there's no way they could have a stretch like that again. If healthy, I'll say that. I mean, if they get the injury bug bites them again, all bets are off at that point. Anything could happen. But if they're at full strength or at least close to it, maybe one player, two players missing, they should be over 91 wins.
Well, we talked about it many times. First half of the season, they were arguably the best offense in baseball. Second half, they were one of the worst offenses in baseball. Ryan O'Hearn hit the skids. Adley was dreadful swinging the bat. And then Cedric Mullins got hot in the second half after being brutal for almost a full calendar year. Gunnar had his ups and downs. Westberg's injury was huge. Mountcastle's injury was huge. I mean, Kowser's second rookie of the year, he had his ebbs and flows offensively. I mean, but there's so much offensive potential for this team. Now, does O'Neill come in and not going to hit 44 home runs? I'm not going to guess that, but can he duplicate the 31 that he had with the Red Sox? Can he play the Gold Glove level defense that he did with St. Louis 4 or 5 years ago? And can he stay off the IL, which he's been known to do? So they've signed some dudes that spent a lot of time, Dylan Carlson, that spent a lot of time inactive as opposed to being on the field.
Right, and that is a concern. I focus more on the young guys, like you said, because as great as they are, and they've been hyped up endlessly going back to since they were drafted, their time through the minors, we were waiting for years and years and years for these guys just to arrive. Now they're here, some immediate success, but then you get the other side of it where the playoff shortcomings, and some people would be, you know, quick to say, well, you're too inexperienced. You know, these guys just don't know what they're up against. There's nobody in that clubhouse that's been there, done that, to say, hey, this is what you need to get through the playoffs. But this group is another year older, more games under their belt, more seasoned. I'm just excited to see how they grow.
And let's not forget, a year ago at this time, Jackson Holliday was the number one prospect in baseball. And are we dismissing him that quickly based on, you know, not even a half a season worth of struggles?
No. He was the favorite to win Rookie of the Year, and then a different Oriole ends up being in that vote.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's off. He'll be back Monday. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. News for the Nets coming up next. Count that weekend money, hopefully buy or sell time. And then we'll talk Orioles. Jacob Calvin-Meyer from the Baltimore Sun. The caravan's rolling through the area, everybody. And Orioles win total 91 last year. Do they exceed? They fall short. If they don't win 91 games, I'm thinking a lot of us are going to be running hot throughout the summer.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Cook up a special dinner with USDA Choice Beef New York Strip Steak, bone in for $7.99 per pound. And for that special someone on Valentine's Day, Debbie Lilly Design Dozen Roses for $24.99. Large pack of 2 pound strawberries or 18 ounce blueberries, $4.99 each. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15 year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.